Good morning, folks.
Good morning.
That's a way to make an entrance, isn't it? Did you do that?
Yeah.
Nice. My name is Andrew Cooney, and I'm so glad that you are worshiping with us here this morning, whether you're here in the sanctuary or present with us online. We are grateful that you chose to be with us today. Today is the second Sunday in the season of Advent. Folks, it doesn't feel like it, but this Sunday is the halfway mark. We're halfway there through Advent. And so as you can imagine, there's a lot of stuff going on. So I'm going to try and clip through a number of announcements so that we keep you as up to date as possible. If you are not on our CyberBeacon list to receive emails about events, that's the most helpful way to get an update on what we're doing and when it is. Today at 3 p.m. in the back parking lot. And what we mean by that is if you drive into the main parking lot and then just keep on going around to the back, there's a playground back there. We're going to be having a time of caroling, s'mores, and gathering Toys for Tots from 3 to 5 this afternoon. We're going to have a series of small, what do you call them, pit fires? Like they're going to be in the fire pits and back there, four or five of them. So you'll be able to be warm and on the side, you'll be able to make s'mores and sing. Matthew's going to be leading us in singing today. So come on out, bring a lawn chair and celebrate today, 3 o'clock in the back parking lot. Next Sunday includes some deadlines. Next Sunday is our last Sunday to collect toys for tots and for supporting the Heifer Project. The Heifer Project has been meeting in the fellowship hall between services. If you want to help a family out somewhere in the world by giving them a flock of geese or paying for an animal, something like that, that they will be gifted, please see our representatives in the fellowship hall and they will share with you about that ministry. Next Sunday, and I want to make sure that we're clear on this because there's been some confusion, the choir has asked that we do our cantata just one time because wearing a mask and singing to project for an entire group is hard. We usually do the cantata twice, once at this service and once at our later service, but because of that, we're only doing the cantata at the 11. However, we will be having this service as normal at 9:30, so come on out if you want to be a part of the contemporary service and stay if you want to participate in the cantata that the choir is lifting up this year as well. I also want to take a moment to thank some folks. Beginning a couple of weeks ago, we started putting together Thanksgiving baskets that went out to over 20 families, and thank you for the teams that did that. On Saturday, we had a prison packing event. Each year, we are the exclusive gift givers to the women's prison in Jessup, and we get to give over 600 prisoners gifts at Christmas time, and they packed them yesterday, and they will be given to the women's prison, and we get to bless them that way. Our angel tree tags were all taken, and as a matter of fact, you might see some people returning them under the big tree today, so we're grateful for that. Over 70 care packages went out to college students and military students this past week, and one of the members of that team actually put in their own email address for all those tracking tags. And so this week, every time the box went a little further, they got an email. Can you imagine? Oh my gosh. So, but the students are already receiving them. One of us sent us a picture of a rubber ducky in a swimming pool on a Twitter post because they got a rubber ducky in their box, and they were so grateful for that. What a cool thing. And also the shoeboxes. So many of you participated in shoeboxes, and those are even now being sent out to kids around the world so that they will have them for Christmas morning. Way to go, Bethany. We are so excited for the way in which you try and touch our world in the name of Jesus. So this morning, we not only have communion, but our second Sunday in Advent, and our children are going to lead us this morning in prayer. Would you let them pray and lead us this morning as we join together in worship?
Dear God, thank you for the plan that you have for each of us, the plan you have for the world and everything in it. Sometimes it's hard to celebrate when we are waiting, and sometimes it's hard to celebrate when the things we plan don't turn out the way we expect. But we can find joy when we remember that you have a plan, and that your plan is always good. Help us celebrate you because we know that you're always in control. We love you and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Can we stand and let's worship together this morning? Well, are you glad to be here today?
Yes.
Come on, look at somebody next to you and say, I'm glad that you're here today.
I'm glad that you're here today.
Come on, just turn around. Just. I know we're a little not so touchy-feely right now, but just wave at somebody. Say, come on, I'm glad you're here today. I'm glad to see your smile through the mask. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just love one each other this morning. I'm here, but my vocals are not quite here yet. It's still on their way. So I need a few of you to sing this morning.
Amen.
Crystal has one leg, so she's going to need some of you to dance for her today. All right? So come on. So let's all do this together. We're going to make this
a team effort.
We're going to make this a team effort. We ready? All right, here we go. Shout together. Say, hey.
Hey.
Let's do that again. One more time.
Say, hey.
Hark the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sin is reconciled. Joyful all ye nations, rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings.
Come on, let's shout it out.
Second.
Let your glory reign, shining like the day. King of heaven, come. I will feast at the table of the Lord. I will feast at the table of the Lord. And I won't hunger anymore. At his table, I will feast at the table.
Be seated. Thank you for leading us in worship this morning. That was awesome. In the book of Galatians, Paul is writing to the church in Galatia, and in chapter 4, these are the words that he says, "But when the fullness of time had come," and I just want to pause there for just a second, before we hear the rest of it. Paul is trying to indicate that there was a time frame that God had set up, and that that time frame and everything within it had to happen first. And so he says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons and daughters. When the fullness of time had come, God sent his son. One of the things I love about Paul as we think about this morning is that Paul has this amazing sense of belief that God's timing is perfect. I'm not always good with that. But Paul believed deeply because of what he watched God do and how he watched the prophets speak of Jesus coming and all the things that were fulfilled that enabled Jesus to be exactly when he came to unfold the story just as God had it. And when he came in the fullness of time, he sent him so that we might receive adoption as sons and daughters. Now, I just want to talk about this for a minute because most of us hear the phrase children of God. But what he's saying is this: God already had a son. What was his name? Jesus. And what he's saying is that we are adopted into the same family. And Paul writes later on, we are co-heirs. Do you know what an heir is? An heir is a person who inherits something. In other words, God is saying, everything that I have is Jesus, and now that I have adopted you, you have the same status as my son, Jesus Christ. Now, as a parent who has both adopted children and had a child, I'm going to tell you, you love them exactly the same. The idea that he would look at you and me and say, he sent his son so that we might be adopted as a son or daughter, not just a second-class child somewhere, but having the same kind of love, the same kind of privileges, the same kind of inheritance as his only son. And by the way, let me just say this last thing to you. If you're an only son, how much of the inheritance do you get? And then if your father starts going adopting not just a couple, but a whole bunch of people, what happens to your inheritance? It gets divided. And the scripture says without any remorse, without any regret, Jesus left heaven and came to make a way that we might be adopted as his children. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. A son who was willing to leave his throne and all of what it meant to be the Son of God, to come and to offer his life that we might share as co-heirs of the Father. And so we remember that night when Jesus anticipated that. And he gathered his disciples together, and he took the bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, take and eat, for this is my body given for you. Take it. And as often as you take it, remember me. And after the supper, he took the cup, and he blessed it, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, take and drink from this, all of you, for this is the cup of the new covenant, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. In a second, I'll ask you to take out your bread and your cup, but first let me bless them. Father, we ask that you would bless the elements here on this table and in our hands. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. Children of God, joint heirs with the Son of God himself. Forgive us for where we've fallen short, where we've sinned and run away from you. And offer us once again your forgiveness, your grace, and the love which only you can give us. We gratefully pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. If you have the cups in front of you, the first top layer is a cellophane layer, a clear one. You can peel it off and take now the body of Christ given for you. Below that is a foil layer. If you want to peel that off, there's juice underneath that. The blood of Christ shed for you. We offer these to you in baggies so that you can place them in the baggie and ziplock them and save me from getting in trouble with the trustees. Ken, if you wouldn't mind slipping up here with five or six of them, I think the praise band didn't get some, and that'd be fantastic if we could offer that to them. Would you please pray with me? Father, we want to take a moment to thank you for this gift. It reminds us of what Christ did for us, not only as he came to this earth, but also as he died and rose again, that we might also have the privilege and the opportunity to share in your kingdom as your children. Help us with grateful hearts to celebrate you this day and all that you do for us. In your Son's holy name we pray. Amen. As we celebrate the second Sunday of Advent, I'd like to ask the Saeda family to come forward. They're going to be lighting for us our Advent wreath this morning.
I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:6.
We relight the candle of hope. Now we light the second candle of the Advent wreath, the candle of peace.
Luke 1:76-79. And you, my little son, will be called the prophet of the Most High, because you will prepare the way for the Lord. You will tell his people how to find salvation through forgiveness of their sins. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us to the path of peace.
Well, let us pray. Emanating light, show us your path of peace. Still our hearts long enough to hear your promise of fulfillment. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning, friends. We are in the second Sunday of Advent, and this happens to me every year. Life goes faster than you think it's going to. And it always is a reminder to me that I'm probably not only behind in life, but in my Christmas shopping. So take note of it today. We are in the sermon series called The Little Things. And we've been talking about little things that are important to the Christmas story and important to us. And also important because coming out of a pandemic, they're not always things that we have focused on during times of crisis. When you go through something very hard, oftentimes you bake it down to the necessary things, and the other things go to the wayside, but the other things can be important. And last week, Pastor Brenda talked about noticing and how when we notice things, it's important in life. And the characters in the Christmas story notice some important things. Today, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I should be preaching this sermon. This is a sermon on waiting. I'm going to tell you up front, Pastor Brenda is better at waiting than I am. Pastor Kathy Vidic is better at waiting than I am. Pastor Tim Jones is better at waiting than I am. Matthew Jenkins is better at waiting than I am. Greg Carey, the chair of our focus team, is better at waiting than I am. I'm going to have a long list of people. I don't like waiting. I hate it. I hate waiting. Is there anybody else that hates waiting? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I hate waiting when they tell me it's going to be fast. Like being on a highway. A highway is supposed to be fast. If I'm on a back road and I'm going slow, okay, it's a back road. A highway, the speed limit is clearly marked. It's in double digits. And it's a high number. Drive! In addition, there are supposed to be lanes that are faster on the highway than others, and there are some people that seemingly never learned this. There's also this thing called fast food. Sometimes I'm not sure what the fast part of that is. Chick-fil-A recently announced that as many as 30% of their customers leave because the line's too long. I have two apps on my phone that there's a depression on the screen of my phone because I press them so often. One of them is Dunkin' Donuts, and the other is Chick-fil-A. Now, Chick-fil-A is usually for someone else. I love Chick-fil-A, but I have learned that I shouldn't eat that much stuff because you have a hard time stopping. Some things can and should be faster. Other things in life can't be made faster. There are many things you can put in the microwave. Bread is not one of them. Bread, how many of you like bread? Bread takes time. You can't make it faster. If you do, it's gross. It takes time to rise. It takes time to cook. Unfortunately, brownies takes time. Pregnancy takes time. In the Christmas story, when Mary got pregnant, you were pretty much guaranteed there was another 9 months to this story. People had to wait. Growing up takes time. Can I get an amen? There are times and moments in our life as parents where we want that to go faster. We want our kids to grow up faster. There are parts of growing up, as we know because some of us still haven't fully grown up, it takes time. In the Christmas story, there was a lot of waiting. People had to wait for the Messiah in general. People had been waiting for a long time. The wise men had to wait until they figured out where the star was actually going to take them. They said it kept moving. Mary had to wait to see where all this was going. Elizabeth had to wait for her son to be born, for her husband to even tell the story of what happened in the temple that day when the angel came. The shepherds had to wait until they could actually find the baby. And today we're going to be looking at Simeon. We know so little about Simeon, and I forgot to bring my clicker, so I'm going to have to count on you guys in the back to help me with this. Here we are in Luke chapter 2. Look at this story with me. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout. Righteous is code word for act godly or an upright or good person. And devout. He was intentional about his faith and was, say these two words with me, eagerly waiting. I didn't know you could put those two words together. Eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come to rescue Israel. Let me finish this passage and we'll come back to that notion. The Holy Spirit was upon him, and revealed to him that he would not die until he'd seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Joseph and Mary came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child into his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace, as you have promised. I've seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is the light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel." Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, "This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall and many others to rise. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your soul." I'm both tongue-in-cheek and serious about the notion of eagerly waiting. You could just black screen that as for a minute. There are a lot of adjectives that you could put before waiting, or even adverbs for those of you that are English-like. Impatiently waiting. Angrily waiting. Tensely waiting. When I think about the kind of waiting I do, much of it is not a positive adjective or adverb before the word waiting. Joyfully waiting. That does happen. You know, sometimes when you have a big vacation coming, you're eagerly waiting. Sometimes when there's a big event in the family, like a child's getting married, you're eagerly waiting. And some of you are eagerly waiting for it to be over. I remember eagerly waiting for my driver's license. I remember eagerly waiting for the day I'd get married. I remember eagerly waiting for my children. The notion here in this passage is that God was going to do something. Simeon was told he was going to do it, and he eagerly waited. And we'd have no idea how long it was between the time God told Simeon it was going to happen and between the day it happened. And for me, the longer I have to wait for something, even if it's really good, the less eager I become. It's hard. God has told us that his kingdom is coming and that he is bringing all kinds of things to this earth. And there are moments when I just get tired of waiting. Because everything's ugly sometimes. There were many people in Jesus' day that had just given up on the idea of a Messiah coming. They'd given up on waiting. It just hadn't happened, so it probably wouldn't happen in their minds. So why wait for something that'll never really happen? One of the reasons why God causes us to wait is that it does something inside of us. There are a lot of studies about this. As a matter of fact, kids who can put off the ability to get a treat right now become way more successful in life later. Many of you know the famous marshmallow experiment. If you don't know it, look it up. Kids who have the ability to say no to a marshmallow right now is a predictor of their ability later in life to navigate the challenges of life. And our world right now is not encouraging us to wait for anything. Everything is faster and now, faster and now, faster and now. And it feeds that inside of me. And so I want that for everything, not just the things that it's possible to have, but also the things that it's impossible to have. I've heard many women say, 6 or 7 months into their pregnancy, it would be really nice if I could just have the baby now. There is something about God and the timing of God that not only has to do with what God wants to get done, but what God wants to get done in the people around us. And what we discover when we read Scripture is that people oftentimes need that time whether they know it or not. But what I love about the passage in Simeon is that he did not lose his sense of joy, his sense of peace, the giftedness that God had given to him by saying, you get to see this thing, I'm telling you ahead of time. He carried within him the joy and the eagerness and the excitedness that God was doing something. Because God loves to share his secrets with people. Why? Because when something good is going to happen, he wants to share it with somebody, don't you? But for God, 8 or 9 months or 10 years or 100 years is not far away. So it wasn't unlike him to share his heart and what he was doing and his plans with people. And then they'd say, but they're not happening, they're not happening, they're not happening. I know, but I've shared my heart with you and I want you to be excited with me. I want you to see. I want you to understand. And we as human beings have a really, really, really hard time with that. And God is not trying to frustrate us. He's trying to invite us. And what I love about Simeon was his willingness to participate in this. As a matter of fact, the scripture says that the day that Mary and Joseph showed up at the temple, the Holy Spirit prompted Simeon to go. Why? Because Simeon didn't feel like, Simeon apparently wasn't OCD. He wasn't sitting around in his den charting out when and where he might find the Messiah in all the likely places. Of course, the temple had to be one of them, so he should stake out the temple every single day and wait and scan the crowd every single day. Can you imagine anything that'll get you to burn out faster than that? He trusted that the God who told him it was going to happen would also let him know when. So he didn't drive himself crazy every day going, is this it? Is this it? Is this it? Is this it? You know, when you and I were growing up, here's what we used to say when we were in the back seat. Are we there yet? You know why our kids don't say that? Because they have Netflix on their phone. They don't know the car was moving. The question for them is the movie done yet? Does that coincide with our arrival? For us as human beings, the notion of living in God's timing brings a whole different challenge to us. But he went that day, prompted by the Spirit, and that day he stood and he held that baby and he said, now I can die because I have seen what you're doing, God. I don't have to see the rest. What an amazing statement. I don't have to see the rest. I know you're doing it. And then he said to Mary and Joseph, and he didn't say these words, but this is what they heard. You are not crazy. Some different and weird and wacky stuff has happened. And there are moments when you look down and say, am I in a dream? Is this really happening? An angel has visited you, and some wise men have come to you, and some shepherds have shown up at your door, and a friend that was old got pregnant, and you shared that time together, and you're looking at each other going, is this really happening? And I'm here to say, yes, and God is in the middle of it. Because there are moments when we look at what we're believing and how we're holding out and go, am I crazy? Because nobody else around me seems to believe any of this. So I want to invite you, as we close, to experience what it might mean to eagerly wait for God. I'm not going to ask you to eagerly wait for Chick-fil-A. I'm going to ask you to eagerly wait for God. What does it mean to do that in your life, knowing that God is faithful and will do exactly what he said he will do in the fullness of his time? Let's pray. God, we are so grateful. The Christmas story is filled with these small vignettes of characters who had to be challenged in different ways. And their short journey in this story are reminders of who you are and how you put things together and how you ask us to live and to trust you. Help us, God, to eagerly wait for your Son's second coming, to eagerly wait for your kingdom, which is coming and is here even now, to eagerly await for the way in which you will use us in this world, to eagerly wait for the work that you're still doing in us and the people around us. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. May we eagerly wait for your coming. In your Son's holy name we pray. Amen.
We stand together. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul. The sun comes up, it's a new day gone. It's time to sing your song again. May pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul, I will worship your holy name. Worship this holy name. sing it one more time. Come on, let's sing it one more time. Bless the Lord.
I love it that you can't stand still when you sing.
I'm dry.
It is in your soul. Don't you love that about her? Thank you, God, for your goodness to us. We bless you, God, with our whole soul, with our whole heart. Help us. To be excited by the things that excite you.
Amen.
And to eagerly wait for you to do what only you can do in our heart, in our family's lives, and in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Your holy name, Lord, I will worship your holy name.